I would ask everyone to be praying that God will bless us as we try to study from His Holy Word. I have most all this past week, I thought I'd known what I would preach tonight, and then during the afternoon, I struggled back and forth about what the Lord would have me to try to preach, and then you joined the church, and I feel like during the song service, God led me in a different direction, and so I ask you to pray that God will bless us as we study His Word. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Before we begin to read from Matthew chapter 16, the Lord willing, we'll be reading 13 through 19. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. But before we begin to read and study, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, the privilege of knowing that Thou art our Heavenly Father, and that Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, that Thou hast given us the assurance and the peace in our souls that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we're kept by the power of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the great peace that that gives us in knowing that our eternal salvation is not dependent on us holding on to You or our faithfulness to You, but our eternal salvation is because of the amazing grace of God and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not because of our faithfulness, but because of Your faithfulness. And we just thank You, Lord, for saving us from our sins. We're thankful that Jesus accomplished what He came to do, that as He came into the earth to save His people from their sins, that He did that. We're thankful that He finished that work. And we're thankful that Thou hast also established Thy church in the earth and given us the privilege to be a part of Thy church. We know that there are many religious organizations in the world today, and yet there is the Church of Jesus Christ, which is different than the religious orders of the world. And we pray that You would help us as a body of Thy people, as a body of born-again, baptized believers, as we try to live in this world. We pray that we would live in such a way that we would be a part of Thy church in the earth. We thank You again for the holy Word of God, and we pray that You would bless us as we study Thy Word this night, that we might hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy holy Word. We're thankful again for Brother Herman. We thank You for You adding him to the church, and pray that he would be a blessing to the body, and the body would be a blessing to him. Pray that You would bless Sister Nina and him together and all of his family, and bless us all as children of God and part of the family of God, that we would always be as a body that is fitly joined together, that we would work and labor together to Thy name's honor and glory. Forgive us all of our sins. Bless all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that there are many who stand in special need this night, so be with each one and help us that we might honor and glorify Thee with the remaining portion of our lives that we live here on this earth. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, the Word of God says, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' And He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not, or blessed art thou,'" I started quoting instead of reading. Let me back up. "'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want us to go back to the expression that Jesus made here in the 18th verse when he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Brethren, it's important for all of us to remember those words. This church, I know that often we use the expression, it's our church. But I want you to know that in all the pages of God's Word, you will never find any time that the people called it their church. It's not our church. This is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that bought it. He's the one that established it. And it's His church. And I would encourage everybody here that you always remember that Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." It's the church of Jesus Christ. It gives glory to Him when we acknowledge that it is His church and not our church. So that's one thing I want you to remember. But I also want you to remember that Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Brethren, it does not matter how much the devil hates the church, the true church of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how much the devil hates the church, the devil cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how much the devil wants to destroy the church, there will always, as long as this earth continues, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And when the church, I want you to remember the picture there, is gates. Now, gates are not something that run forward or backward or move around. Gates are stationary. And the picture that Jesus gives us there is that when the church of Jesus Christ is going forward and doing the things that God has called the church to do, when the church is being active, the devil's going to put all kinds of barriers in the way of the church. When any individual is trying to go forward in serving God, have you ever found in your life that the devil puts up gates to try to hinder you from doing what God would have you to do? Now, the picture that Jesus gives here is not the gates coming against the church, but the church coming against the gates, and all obstacles that Satan would put in your path, the devil cannot stop you from going forward, because the devil cannot prevent the church from going forward. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, let's talk about the church and see what God's Word has to say about the church. First of all, let's turn in your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. There are other things that the church is called other than the church of Jesus Christ. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to listen, please, to verses 13 and 14. When the Apostle Paul is here writing to the young preacher, Timothy, he's talking to Timothy about the ways that the church are to conduct themselves. And brethren, I want all of us to understand that since it is the church of Jesus Christ, that we are obligated to follow the rules of His house. It's not our house, therefore we can't change the rules. There are many things happening in America today among churches. There are things that at one time were clearly wrong in the church that no longer are wrong. That they are still wrong, but they're not recognized as being wrong. There are sins that are accepted by church-going people today and by churches today. There are sins that are accepted by churches, and that hinders them from really being a part of the church of Jesus Christ. If we're not going to follow God's Word, and listen carefully, if we are not going to follow God's Word, then we stop being the church of Jesus Christ. We change from being the church into being just a worldly or a religious institution in the world. And we make up our own rules and we go our own way, but we want to be called the church of Jesus Christ to take away our shame and reproach. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the young preacher Timothy, says, "These things write I unto thee." Now, what has he just written to them about in the earlier part of this chapter? What is he referring to when he says, "These things write I unto thee"? What's he referring to? What has he just been talking about in the first 12 or 13 verses of that chapter? He's been talking about the qualifications for pastors and deacons. Does God's Word set up qualifications? Does God's Word say that in order for a man to be ordained to the office of an elder or a bishop or a pastor, that there are qualifications that have to be met? Does God's Word say that in order to be ordained to the office of a deacon, that there are qualifications that have to be met? Now, we can't change those rules. Those are house rules set up by the head of the house. Who is the head of the church? Who is the head of the house of God? Jesus Christ is the head, and He's the one that sets the rules, and we can't change those rules without ceasing to be the true church of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, or rather Paul here is saying, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself." Now listen to three different expressions that he gives, calling the church in three different ways. He says, "I've written these things unto you so that you can know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, brethren, the church of the living God is the house of God. Remember that. And the church of the living God here is also called the pillar and ground of the truth. If the truth is not being taught there, if the truth of God's Word, if the truth about Jesus Christ is not being taught, if the truth is not adhered to, and God's Word says, Jesus says, "Thy Word is truth." So if we're not following the Word of God, that means that we're no longer the pillar and ground of the what? No longer the pillar and ground of the truth. And if we stop being the pillar and ground of the truth, what does the pillar do? This isn't a pillow that you go to sleep on. This is a pillar. What's the pillar? What do the pillars of an old building? What is the purpose of pillars in a building? The purpose of the pillars is to hold it up. What is the purpose of the church? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the function, one of the functions of the church is to hold up the truth, to teach the truth, to preach the truth, to explain the truth, to live the truth. And the people of God can only be identified as the true church when they're teaching and preaching and trying to live the truth of God's Word, because the church is defined here as the pillar and ground of the truth. Some people say it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you just try to do what you think is best. Well, it does matter what you believe. Truth matters. That's the reason the Word of God admonishes the people of God that we're to study the Scriptures, rightly dividing the Word of what? The Word of truth. Why? Because God has given us the Scriptures as our only rule of faith and practice. If you want to know what to teach, if you want to know what the truth is, you have to study the Word of God. If we're not going to study the Word of God, and if we're not going to follow the Word of God, if we're not going to be doers of God's Word, then we cease to be the pillar and ground of the what? We cease to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And if we cease to be the pillar and ground of the truth, we cease to be the true church of Jesus Christ. Does that mean you stop being a child of God? No. Listen, brethren, there are many people in this world that don't understand the truth. There are many people in this world who have never been taught the truth. But there are other people of God, children of God in this world, that when confronted with the truth, they rebel against the truth and they run and they despise the truth. Is God's Word very plain about homosexuality? Does God's Word state very clearly what's right and wrong in the Word? Brethren, homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God. You cannot read the Word of God, Old and New Testaments. Anybody that doesn't understand this, you please see me later and I'll give you plenty of scriptures. But homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God. And when we, as the people of God, when we condone it, when we close our eyes and just pretend like nothing is wrong, when we're around people that we know are walking in willful disobedience to the teachings and commandments of God, and they're doing things that we know are an abomination in the sight of God, if I love them, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to talk to them. If I see you going down a road that I know the bridge is out on that road, if I know that you're going down a road that's going to lead to your destruction, I'm going to do everything I can to stop you. Why? If I love you, I'm going to try to keep you from destroying and killing yourself. Likewise, if you love the people that are around you, if you love the people that you know and you see them on a path that leads to destruction, if you love them, you're going to do everything you can to convert them and keep them from destroying their lives. You cannot be silent about people that are living ungodly if you love them, and if you know the truth, you have to say something when they're going down a wrong path. If you don't say anything, the Word of God says in Ezekiel, the Word of God says, their blood will be on your head. When you see people that are doing things that are ungodly and that are wrong and you don't say anything, their blood will be on your head. The church, does the church have a responsibility to declare what truth is? Does the church have a responsibility to declare and to show forth what the standard of righteousness is? Yes, we do. Let me ask you this. Can a local church cease to be the church of Jesus Christ? Yes, it can. I think that the scriptures prove that repeatedly, but especially in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. You remember in Revelation chapter 2 that the scripture says that the angel spoke to... Well, let's turn to Revelation just a moment. Look in your Bibles at Revelation chapter 2. I want you to see that even though a church can begin by following Christ, and a church can begin by being the pillar and ground of the truth, that a church can cease to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And when that happens, God removes His Spirit. And when God's Spirit is gone from a place, it's no longer the church of Jesus Christ. Unless the Spirit of God is there, brethren, it's not the church of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 2, the first church that we read about in Revelation chapter 2 is the church at Ephesus. Now, were they doing some things that were right? Was the church at Ephesus doing some things that were right and were good? Yes, they were. And I'll say this, brethren, I don't know of any group of people that love the Lord that aren't trying to do some things that are right and good. There are some very, very godly people that I think that in many ways are doing things that are right. And I also want you to know that there's nobody that's perfect in doing everything right. Not this church nor any other church. There is not a perfect church on the face of this earth. And when you find things that are wrong in a church, the first thing you must do is identify that they are wrong based on God's Word. And if the church is doing something that are wrong, the church body, the members of the body, need to work and labor to correct that so that we can return to the pattern that's given us in the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 2, I want you to listen to what Jesus said to the angel of the church at Ephesus, starting in verse 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, I know thy works. Does God know your works? Let me just break this down from the church to your personal life. Does God know what you're doing? Does God know what you're doing? There's not a person in this building. The Bible says God knows the very numbers of hairs that are on our head. Now, that's an amazing thing. When my children were born, I counted their toes and their fingers, but God knows the numbers of hairs on your head. The Bible says that God knows my thoughts afar off. I don't know what I'm going to be thinking about tomorrow. God knows your thoughts. God knows your actions. God knows what you do in the dark. God knows what you do behind closed doors. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say but what God sees, what's going on in your life. The same thing's true of the church. He says, to the church at Ephesus, he says, I know thy works. And he commends them. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Is he commending the church? Is he telling them what an excellent job they're doing in many ways in the first two verses there that I've just read. But then he says in verse 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Did you know that the people of God can begin to do things in the church? They could be even doing right things, but it not be moved and motivated out of a heart of love. Thou hast left thy first love. And it doesn't matter how many works we do. If it's not a work of faith and a labor of love, then it's not acceptable in God's sight. And Jesus tells this church, even though you're doing a lot of things that are right and are good, you have left your first love. I have something against you. Thou hast left thy first love. And he says in verse 5, he says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Do you need to repent? Does the church often need to repent and turn around and go in a different direction? Indeed it does. And when we are taught what's right, it's imperative that we heed the Word of God. Do what Jesus said. Repent and return to the first love. You can go home and read Revelations 2 and 3, and you'll find that at least five of those seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 had some major problems in the church. He commended every one of the churches. He told every one of the churches, "I know thy works." He talked about things they were doing right, and then he explained some things that were wrong in the church. One of the things that he said to the church at Laodicea, he says, "You're lukewarm." Have you ever seen a lukewarm church? Have you ever seen people that are just any old way will do, just lukewarm? What did God say he would do to that church unless they repented of being lukewarm? He said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." I hope that God will help us to understand that even though the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, and even though as long as this world continues that Jesus will have a church in the earth, I hope the Lord will help us to understand that if we don't keep house, if we don't live the way the Word of God teaches for us to live, if we don't study the Word of God and do what God's Word says, then God will remove His candlestick from this church, and then we'll cease to be the church of Jesus Christ. Go with me in closing to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we read about the early church in Acts chapter 2, and we read about some of the great things that the early church did. And one of the things that the early church did is they spread the gospel. They took the gospel, and they spread the gospel, and they taught other people the Word of God. Did you know that's one of our responsibilities as the church, is to spread the truth of salvation by grace, to tell other people about Jesus? That's the reason. Some people say, "Why do you have a radio program every Sunday?" One of the reasons we have a radio program every Sunday is to spread what? Spread the truth. Why do we have the Trumpet of Truth magazine that goes all over the United States and into foreign countries? Why does the church work so hard to put that magazine out every month? Why? It's because we want to do what? Spread the truth. Why? Because God, whatever truth you know, where did you come to a knowledge of that truth? When Peter was asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Was that true? That was true. Where did he get that from? Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." If you know Jesus as your Savior tonight, if you know Jesus is your Savior, God revealed that truth to you. Any other truth that you know in the Word of God, the only reason you know any truth, whatever truth you know, the only reason you know it is because God revealed it to you. And we need to give God all the glory for every truth that we understand. In Acts chapter 2, we find that Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, and he was preaching to some people and telling them what they were doing wrong and what they had done wrong. He says that same, and look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36. In Acts chapter 2, and here's what he's doing now. He's talking to these people. Let me ask you this. I've been here for 30 years. Last Sunday was my 30th anniversary here. Has this church ever heard, ever, a single time, have you ever heard me identify other denominations and what they're doing wrong? Have you ever heard me do that? Not one time. Do you know why? when Jesus was preaching, and he was preaching to the Pharisees, did he tell the Pharisees how bad the Sadducees were? No, when he was talking to the Pharisees, what did he do? He talked to the Pharisees about what they were doing wrong. It's wrong for ministers of the gospel to stand in the pulpit and condemn other denominations and talk about them. The people of God, everybody here, we can do better. And when you come to the house of God, you need to pray, God, help me see ways that I can improve and stop looking at any faults of any people down the road and pray that God will help us to live better in our own lives. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching to these people, and here's what he said to them. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus. What do the next four words say? Whom ye have crucified. Now, how do you think that made those people say? How do you think that made those people feel when Peter said, God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ? It convicted some of them. They were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them what to do. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord shall call. What did the church do? Were there many added to the church that day? There were many added to the church. They repented. They confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And they took up their cross in water baptism and they were baptized. That's what Brother Herman is doing. Is, you see, the only people who are qualified to be baptized are people who are already bringing forth fruit for repentance. Does everybody understand that? There were many people who went to John the Baptist to be baptized of him in Matthew chapter 3. There were many people that went to be baptized of him. John the Baptist told them, I will not baptize you. He told them to go and bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Brother Herman is not a perfect man, but Brother Herman, the Spirit of God radiates from his life. He wants to do what's right in his life. He loves God. Love just radiates from him. He loves God, he loves Jesus Christ, he loves the church, and he wants to live right. And that's the reason that he'll be baptized and become a part of this church tonight. May God help us to pray for him, and may God bless you to live a life that follows what God's Word says every day, is my prayer for Christ's sake.